Do you know what really matters? Does anybody answer that question? Do you know what really matters? You know, I want to go through that with you tonight. And in fact, in tonight's message, there's going to be a test that you'll all have to take. Did you know you're going to have to take a test? You know, that's our question for tonight. Do you know what really matters? In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes these words, "Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of the Lord our God, that is what matters." I added the word "that." Little emphasis there, because keeping God's commandments indeed is what matters. It's incontrovertibly true, and it's unquestionably true, and without confusion, that we must keep God's commandments above all. And now, since keeping the commandments is what really, really matters to God, that's what we just read. It's not circumcision. It's not uncircumcision. In fact, it isn't even baptism. What really matters to God is that we keep His commandments. That we learn to rise up above ourselves, to look beyond ourselves, to look beyond our way, and look to the way of God. That's what matters. And therefore, tonight we want to do a little connecting of the dots of commandments that we might become more pleasing to God. And the first dot, the first thing that we want to look at in the way of commandments, and realize everything we look at tonight is somehow connected to the commandments of God. The first thing, of course, is being blessed. Blessings. Blessings really matter. And we think about that. God informed the Old Testament people in Leviticus chapter 26. He said, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you." That's what he said. If you walk in my commandments, then I will give you. And as you read on from verse 4 to verse 13, God lists many, many blessings that would come as a result of the people being obedient to His commands. Keeping the law of God is pleasing to God, and God rewards them with these many, many blessings. And when you think about that, you go a little bit further in that same chapter and you'll read what happens if you don't keep the commandments of God. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 28. We have to obey God's commandments. In Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22, around in the middle of the chapter, verse 14, John, he gives us the exhortation to the commandment keeping. He said, "Blessed are they who do His commandments." And it's been true in the past. It's true today. If you keep God's commandments, He will bless you. And you don't have to think twice about that. If you don't keep His commandments, He won't. So it's so important that Paul writes a warning for us. He writes us a warning that he wrote to the church in Rome when he warned them in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. And he said to them, "Consider the goodness and the severity of God to those who fell severity, but toward you goodness if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Keeping the commandments is a blessing from God because it keeps us safe. We want the goodness of God. Does the goodness of God, does it matter to you? Is it important to you? If we choose the right path to go down God's will according to His promise, we'll know what matters and we'll reap the blessings. Let's look at another thing that matters. Added years really matter. added years to your life. It makes a difference. When you look at this picture back here, you realize kind of what I'm thinking, that we grow old and we have our grandkids with us and even the dog. And it matters. I'm looking forward to a brand new grandchild here in September-ish. And it matters. I want to be here when that happens. When my first daughter, when my daughter had her first child, my mother, was ill with cancer, and she died before she ever saw that grandbaby. So it matters. Folks are always looking for a way. When you say, you know, in their life, it's they're looking for some way to live older. They're looking for some grand potion or lotion or, you know, a fountain of literal magic waters that will make us live old. And it's found in what matters. What matters to God. You listen to the words of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 2, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep His commandments and His commandments which I command you and you and your son and your granddaughter all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 40, we hear the language, "You shall therefore keep the statutes of the commandments which I command you today, that you may it may go well with you and with your children and after you." It's going to prolong your days. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Just keeping His commandments is associated with living longer. And we read what Solomon writes from the Book of Wisdom. Solomon himself, he says, "My son, do not forget the law, but let your heart keep my commandments." And then he says, "For length of days, long life, peace, they will add to you." Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. So along with those added years in your life, those things really matter. But one thing that matters even more a little bit is the promise of things that they will be well with you. Things will be well with you really matters. Do you want things to be well with you? We want things to be well with us, well with our children. Do you know that God is, it's God's will that things are well with us? It is His desire. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 29, the writer says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." And many will try to keep the commandments sometimes and keep other commandments other times. But God wants us to keep all the commandments all the time, because that's what really matters. And if we want things to go well with us, if we want things to go well with our children, then we'll make every effort that's humanly possible to reach that goal. And listen, we're not alone. You're not alone in this. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, "For the grace of God," you have the grace of God on your side that brings salvation, "has appeared to all men, and that grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Listen, that's what matters. That's what matters. These are important things that being well with you, well with your soul, in that relationship with God. And the Spirit teaches us that that matters. The next is something that matters a lot to Solomon and to the Lord. And it should matter to us and the early saints and the church today. And what is it that really, really matters? How about being whole? Not being, you know, bits and pieces, and not having empty places in you that you're not really sure of how to fill that void. Every person alive today needs God to fill the void in their souls. And Solomon searched for the meaning and the purpose of life. He concluded with these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. We know those words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. There's other translations like the NIV. It says, for this is the duty of all mankind. The NLT, this is everybody's duty. In the International Standard Version, this is what it means to be human. I like that. I don't know if it's a good translation or not, but that's what it is to be human. We have empty, void spaces in us that can only be filled by God. So many people wander about from day to day in life aimlessly, hopelessly, not knowing what really matters. Not understanding that there is a place called heaven, a place where everything is right and pure and holy, and a place we can be. And they're just not convinced, or they don't quite understand that we're not complete as a people. Where there's this empty part in us that just doesn't exist until we find that truth to understand what really, really matters. Solomon says that in us to live without God and living without His commandments, and that's all vanity. It's just vanity. What is the thing that completes us? What's the thing that makes us whole? Well, we know what that is. That's Jesus and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and our Father in heaven. And that's what completes us. That's what makes us whole. So where do we go from here? If Jesus completes us and makes us whole, what other thing really matters to all of us, or should matter to all of us? And I would propose to you that having peace, that honest, sure peace that comes from God is the thing that should really, really matter. Should make a difference. You know, in a Bible study at one point, I talked to an elderly lady and I asked her, "Ma'am, what is it that you really, really want most?" And without hesitating, without even blinking, she said to me, "I just want peace that satisfies her soul." Some people's lives are always in a turmoil. There's a question, should I or shouldn't I be baptized? There's a question, shouldn't I live this way or live that way? Should I use this language or that language? And we don't need to be tossed about to and fro. We just read the letter of the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And it will show that keeping God's commandment is really what adds to your peace. He says, "My son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commandments." That's what it is, for length of day and for peace. We read that. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18. He writes, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." I've been on a river. I spent 7 days on a river several weeks in years past. And I can tell you, going down that lazy river, laying back in that canoe or the raft or whatever you're in, and the water just taking you on, and you don't have to do any work. That's God's image of peace. And being like the waves. My children, they love to go to the beach. They love to just sit on the beach and listen to the waves and the power of the ocean and the majesty and the awesome creation of God. It just gives them this great inner peace. But peace comes from God. And that's what we're looking for. Jesus declared these things when He said, "I've spoken to you that you may have peace." He's going to give us peace. That's part of His promise to complete us, that we might have good cheer because He's overcome the world. That's what we want. And so it's true that by keeping the commandments, we can possess the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and that peace will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So having these things is really important. Fellowship with God is something that's really important. When we think about our fellowship with God, we think of the first John and how he emphasizes this relationship that we should have with God. In 1 John chapter 1, or 2 rather, in verses 3 and 4, we're going to take a test. I want you to hear these and I want to hear answers. You know, this test is of our fellowship that John gives us in chapter 2. And it goes like this: now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Sure, you know that. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he will abide in them. That's that fellowship that we have with God. And it's God who gives us the next idea of what really, really matters. Answered prayer really matters. I want you to think hard about this, because every prayer that a saint utters rises up to God as a sweet-smelling savor and aroma to God right at the throne of grace, and He hears your prayers. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. You see that relationship there. He's saying, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And we have to do that turning from our wicked ways, following the commandments of God. You ever pray to God and wonder, did He really hear my prayer? Listen, He does. As long as we meet these conditions. One of the conditions of an acceptable prayer, the Apostle John taught us that whatever we ask, we receive from Him. That's what John said. We receive what we ask from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears open to their prayers. He hears your prayers. But that's only if we keep His commandments. Because if we're not keeping His commandments, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We don't want to forget where the eyes of the Lord are. And so many teach that we don't have to keep any form of any commandment, any time, any way. We only have to believe in Jesus. And that is so not true. And that is so wrong. We who couldn't have a list, or now we couldn't have a list of all these blessings and all these prayers and all these things that come our way from God, all these things that are really, really important, without including an entrance to heaven. Because when it's all said and done, after the preacher dies and is buried in the ground, and after all our grandkids see us get old, and after every one of them grows up, and one day the Lord comes back, and it's all over. And the only thing that matters is, are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? In Revelation 22 and 14, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Those are the ones that are going to heaven. The ones who do His commandments, like that song we sang before the lesson. The ones who will enter into the city, into that gate, and be received by God. Revelation 22 and 14. We ought to be moved and motivated and excited about keeping God's commandments, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. Just think about that. Think about the glories that will be when we see the Lord come back and all the saints will be raised up into the air to meet Him. Think about that, what it would be like on that day. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're longing for. That's what we're hungering for, is the day of the Lord when He returns and takes us home to heaven. That's a place I want to be. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and said, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout of the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." That's the completeness. That is what matters. And that is that. You know, I can't wait. I can't wait. I want to be there. I want to be there now. I want to be in heaven with God and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the hosts of the angels, and to be there with all the people who have gone before me, all the saints before me. I want to be in heaven with the dearly beloved again, to feel that great joy and that inexplicable, incomprehensible joy. In heaven, where God will wipe away every tear from my eye. In heaven, where all things will be made new. In heaven, where it's a place where everything is righteous and pure and holy and good. And nothing that is dark or evil will be there. It's a place that really matters. It's a place where I want to be. You know, we don't want to get worked up about the little things of life that really don't matter. As though we go through life and all of life's ups and downs and all the turns and all the hardships and all the things that happen, and none of this really matters. All the anxieties, all the pain, none of this really matters. But being in Christ really matters. Going to heaven really matters. And every one of us can make this transition. According to Jesus, it all begins by just simply hearing and believing the gospel. Jesus taught that in John chapter 6 and verse 45 and John chapter 3:16 for everyone who believes. Jesus taught us to repent of our sins. He tells us that we must confess Him before men. Jesus tells us that we must be baptized into Him in order to be put into His body, into the church, which is the only thing that's going to be delivered up to heaven one day. If you've not been baptized tonight, you need to make that decision. Don't allow this confusion of the world or little things here and there to keep you from doing what you want to do. I myself spent many years fighting against that. People would tell me things, and I had to hear it and learn it for myself. If somebody had told me, "You need Jesus, you need to be baptized," I'd tell them, "Go away from me." And then I read His Word, and I know the truth, and that truth made me free. And I was able to get up and accept His invitation. Will you get up and accept His invitation? Will you live a life following the commandments of God? And if you fall short, repent of that and make it right before it's everlastingly too late. We invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.